This is the voice of contract management, presented by the law firm of Kroll & Mooring, exclusively for NCMA. Stay up to date on all things contract management, 5 minutes at a time. Our team at Kroll & Mooring presents these podcasts to keep you up to speed on a bi-monthly basis. We will cover everything from regulatory updates to crucial changes that impact the government contracting community. We are your co-hosts for this edition, Peter Ayer and Addie Cliff. We have a special edition today. We're going to be focusing on a specific proposed FAR provision entitled Prohibition on Certain Semiconductor Products and Services. So here's a little bit of context. Last week, the FAR Council issued this proposed rule implementing Section 5949 of the FY23 NDAA. That provision prohibits agencies from procuring or obtaining certain products and services that include covered semiconductor products or services effective December 23rd, 2027. The proposed rule provides various new provisions that impose obligations on the government, on offerors, and on contractors. The proposed rule sets forth certain diligence and certification requirements for offerors and companies, and there are important safe harbors as well. There's a lot to talk about, and I'm thrilled to welcome Addie to the podcast today. Addie, why don't you get us started? What are kind of the headlines from your standpoint?
Great. Thank you so much, Peter. This proposed rule is definitely a significant development for companies in the U.S. government supply chain, one that we've been watching out for. I want to start by giving a little bit of context. Section 5949 is one of what I would characterize as a series of supply chain security-related disclosures and prohibitions that have really proliferated over the last several years, with Congress adding new requirements into Annual Appropriations Act, particularly targeting products and services from countries of concern like China. So just to give some flavor of the other developments that we've seen in the space, you may recall that we now have the Federal Acquisition Security Council, the FASC, which has authority to make recommendations to agencies to issue similar prohibitions through FASCSA exclusion orders. That is a mouthful, though the FASC has only recommended one such order to date. We've got Section 889 with respect to Huawei, ZTE, and other Chinese entities of concern. We have the upcoming DoD prohibition on Chinese printed circuit boards. In short, managing supply chain visibility and risk is a key area of focus for contractors and subcontractors in light of these continued developments, the flurry of activities that we're seeing. So turning to Section 5949 and this particular rulemaking, as you mentioned, Peter, Section 5949 doesn't go into effect until December 23, 2027, but that's going to be here in short order. It has two specific prohibitions related to covered semiconductor products or services, which is a defined term, and it's defined as semiconductor products and services designed, produced, or provided by specific named Chinese manufacturers, which currently are SMIC, CXMT, and YMTC, and their affiliates. The government does have authority to add additional entities to the list, which it would do through publication in the Federal Register. So I mentioned two prohibitions. The first prong prohibits federal agencies from acquiring electronic products or services that include covered semiconductor products or services. So that prong is looking at what is actually delivered to the agency customer and applicable essentially to all procurements. The second prong is more limited, prohibits federal agencies from acquiring any electronic products or services that in turn use electronic parts or products that include semiconductor products or services when that's for use in a critical system, which will be identified by the government. So the government will be the one to decide whether a particular system is a critical system. And that's where the agency is not itself acquiring the semiconductor products or services that are being used. So this second prong, the way that it's distinguished from the first prong is that it'll require contractors to assess how the electronic products and services being acquired by the agency are connecting to, enabling, or leveraging other electronic parts that the government is not actually acquiring. As we expected, as we were waiting for this proposed rule, the FAR Council has determined that this prohibition will apply broadly to agency acquisition of commercial and commercially available off-the-shelf products, including purchases that are below the micro-purchase threshold. So quite broad when we're looking at products. The FAR Council has excluded commercial services with the exception of commercial services for IT and telecom services. I would say that the sheer breadth of this requirement means that it's going to effectively touch everyone in the government supply chain. This is something that the FAR Council itself acknowledges in the rulemaking, noting that chips are essential to a broad range of technologies and really found in everything, things as complex as a jet to a smartphone to something very simple like the power adapter that you use for your phone or other devices. I think the other piece of important context here to understand is that the U.S. currently is heavily reliant on China for semiconductor products and services. SMIC alone is the largest chip maker in mainland China, the world's third largest foundry by revenue. So this is not a small deal for contractors and subcontractors to have to perform the diligence on their supply chain and you know, eradicate use to the extent possible.
Indeed, it sure sounds like it is a very large deal, not a small deal, and something that folks will need to be paying attention to. Addy, do you have a sense of how these prohibitions are going to be implemented, and what should companies be expecting from a compliance standpoint as we sit here right now?
Yeah, so similar to what we've seen with prior analogous restrictions like Section 889, the prohibition is going to be implemented through solicitation and contract clauses and a mandatory certification requirement that gets flowed down to subcontractors. So in particular, offerors will have to certify that they have conducted a reasonable inquiry, which is a defined term, into their supply chain for electronic products and services. And then they will certify whether they will or will not provide any electronic products or services that include covered semiconductor products or services to the government in the performance of the contract, or in the case of critical systems, whether they will or will not provide electronic products that use electronic products that include covered semiconductor products or services in the performance of the contract. And if they will provide such products or services, then they have to provide a description of exactly what covered semiconductor products or services are being used and how. So a few comments on the mechanics and areas of uncertainty. First, I'll highlight for those who may be familiar with the definition of reasonable inquiry under Section 889, which at the time of 889 implementation was defined as an inquiry designed to uncover information in the entity's possession about the identity of a producer or provider of covered products or services. The proposed rule for 5949 goes one step further and expressly states that where the contractor or subcontractor is unable to confirm based on information in its own possession, the contractor in that case is required to reach out to its lower tier suppliers or subcontractors to obtain certifications about whether electronic products and services are compliant. The second point I'll make here is that similar to Section 889, contractors and subcontractors don't get the benefit of available exceptions and waivers for purposes of their certifications, meaning contractors are required to broadly disclose if they will use, incorporate covered products or services, and then the government decides whether an exception or waiver applies. This was something that was implied in the Section 889 rulemaking, but here the language is very clear in this rulemaking that the FAR Council expects the contractors and subcontractors to broadly disclose, and only the government gets to decide on applicability of exceptions and waivers. Just to flag a few of the available exceptions, one is for commercial products and services where no alternate sources are available. This allows the government to push the prohibition back a year to December 23, 2028. Again, FAR Council says in the rulemaking, it's the government that's going to make this determination, presumably based on contractor certifications and other diligence. Another key exception to highlight is that the prohibition doesn't require agencies to rip and replace any products or services that are already resident in their equipment, systems, or services before the December 23, 2027 effective date. It also doesn't require agencies to limit the use of covered products and services through the life cycle of equipment that they've acquired before the 23, 2027 effective date. Again, this exception is available to the government, but not what one contractors are able to consider for purposes of making their accurate disclosures. You mentioned safe harbors, Peter. So I'm going to turn to that. The rulemaking provides that contractors that disclose at the time of offer or who timely disclose within 72 hours, so a short time frame during contract performance, and make a comprehensive and documentable effort to identify and remove any covered semiconductor products and services those contractors will have a safe harbor against civil liability and non-responsibility determination. So basically, the government incentivizing contractors and subcontractors to disclose. The last thing that I will mention is that there is a concept in this rulemaking of semiconductor-covered entities, which are essentially OEMs that design semiconductors that are the direct product of U.S. technology and that also source semiconductor products and services from one of the named Chinese entity. For semiconductor-covered entities that are contractors and subcontractors, the implementing clause here requires that they effectively disclose the inclusion of covered products or services to non-federal customers, so to their commercial customers. This is because of the potential vulnerabilities that are associated with covered products and services per the FAR Council. And while the FAR Council hasn't directed the mechanisms for making those disclosures, in the commentary to the rulemaking, the FAR Council suggested including it in marketing materials, websites, or in sales agreements.
Addie, so this is a proposed rule, right? So what are your thoughts on whether there are opportunities for advocacy? Are there particular strategies that, you know, you expect to be used here? What's your thinking about that piece?
Yeah, so this initially came out as an advance notice of proposed rulemaking. So we had early stage, and then the FAR Council considered comments in response to that. Because this is a proposed rule, the FAR Council is still soliciting comments before this goes final. The deadline for that is April 20th, 2026, so not a long timeline. We do expect that there will be industry groups that are gathering feedback from their members and submitting comments, I think particularly on the practical constraints and implications as drafted, where industry thinks the pain points will be as they perform the diligence, get their arms around this, and start gearing up for those certifications.
Well, that is incredibly helpful. I am sure, Addie, you're going to be very popular as this rule unfolds and folks have questions, but we will close this edition out. Thanks for listening to The Voice of Contract Management, brought to you by Kroll & Mooring exclusively for NCMA. Stay tuned for our next episode as we continue to discuss all things government contracting. In the meantime, explore your learning opportunities at www.ncmahq.org/coursecatalog.